from KQED.
This is the California Report. I'm John Sepulvedo. Good morning and good news for people living in Oroville. Mandatory evacuation order has been lifted, meaning tens of thousands of people living along the Feather River could go home. They were evacuated after a weekend crisis at nearby Oroville Dam. KQED's Dan Brecky reports that work goes on to shore up a badly eroded emergency spillway before another storm system comes through the area.
Tell them to come on up out of here.
We'll be over shortly.
Oroville residents waited outside a grocery that shut down when a mandatory evacuation was ordered Sunday. The order came after Lake Oroville, the immense reservoir just outside town, had threatened to burst through an emergency spillway structure and send a wall of water down the Feather River. Most of Oroville's 16,000 residents cleared out in a hurry, as did people from more than 30 miles downriver. Yesterday, officials said the situation had changed. Hundreds of tons of rock, secured with concrete, have reinforced the eroded spillway. And by releasing 750,000 gallons of water a second, the reservoir level was out of the danger zone. With the caveat that they need to be ready to leave again, evacuees were told they could go home. Less than an hour after the mandatory evacuation order was lifted, Jason Johns and his three kids pulled into their driveway and unpacked their SUV.
I'm glad to finally get the green light to come back home, so that must mean some progress has been made, and really happy and thankful for that.
His 16-year-old daughter, Skylar, said she was relieved, but is still thinking about the potential danger just upstream.
Just to know that, we're safe, but what if it happens again? Could it still happen if they don't make it strong enough?
At a press conference yesterday, California Department of Water Resources Chief Bill Croyle addressed that very concern.
I want to reiterate, the spillway has been stable for 4 days.
Croyle said he's confident there will be enough room in the lake to take in runoff from a series of incoming storms. The first of those storms is forecast to arrive early tomorrow, with several more close behind. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecky in Oroville.
President Trump has issued an emergency order activating FEMA to help with the Oroville Dam. Meanwhile, in the Sacramento Delta, levees there are also under pressure from heavy rains. Now, one levee might not seem like such a big deal compared to a dam spillway, but the levees control a vast area of water crisscrossed by major infrastructure, says Jeff Mount of the Public Policy Institute of California.
Yeah, you've got two major highways that cross the Delta. So a failure of an island there blocks off one of your highways. You also have power transmission lines that come across it, gas lines that come across it. And oh, by the way, all those East Bay mud water users, your aqueduct, the McCollum Aqueduct, comes across the Delta as well.
Mount says some of the levees haven't been strengthened enough and that they control the water supply for most of the states. Let's go now to the Central Valley. Yesterday we told you about Coxie, a.k.a. Valley Fever, a.k.a. the infectious disease caused by tiny spores of a fungus that travels on the wind and invades the lungs. It is painful, it is deadly, and it's being noticed by the public. In 2011, an alarming rise in cases across the Southwest prompted widespread concern about the infection. Since then, progress has been made in a surprising place, prisons. Valley Public Radio's Carrie Klein went inside to find out how.
When the wind kicks up in the town of Coalinga, dust devils whirl over almond trees and pump jacks. You can even see the narrow brown funnels from Pleasant Valley State Prison on the outskirts of town. But at the prison itself, there's hardly any dust.
You can see right now it's a slight breeze, but there's nothing blowing around.
Prison spokesman Matt Martin explains how they fight dust in the exercise yards and along the roads.
It's a dirt spray. It'll keep the dust down.
That dust can be deadly. It's where the fungal spores that cause valley fever lurk. If the prisoners inhale those spores, they can get sick. And they have. By 2011, hundreds of state prisoners were falling ill with the disease every year. And every year, 6 to 9 of them died. Pleasant Valley had the most cases. Prisoners are especially vulnerable to valley fever. They can't install new air filters or double-paned windows. And they obviously can't leave. Dr. Tom Chiller is with the Centers for Disease Control.
Preventing this disease is challenging, right? Because we all breathe, and many of us live in areas where this fungus is found.
As a first step, the state removed prisoners with weaker immune systems from all 8 prisons in the Central Valley. Later, federal officials took control over health care decisions in California prisons, and they added a new rule for African American and Filipino prisoners because those two ethnicities are especially susceptible to the disease. They could not be sent to the two most affected prisons, Pleasant Valley and nearby Avenal State Prison. The CDC recently urged California to offer every prisoner a skin test that detects immunity to valley fever. Prisoners who aren't immune are kept out of Pleasant Valley and Avenal.
They were having such high rates of cocci, we knew that we needed to do whatever we could to try to help them lower the risk.
All of this, it seems to be working. Since 2011, infection rates in state prisons have dropped by almost 90%. John Galgiani is a valley fever expert at the University of Arizona.
I think they should be given credit for the drop to some extent, but it'll take time to see if it stays low.
But California's federal prisons are a different story. Take Taft Correctional Institution near Bakersfield. Taft officials don't screen their prisoners for immunity, and they refuse to say whether vulnerable inmates are transferred out. Richard Nguyen-Tor spent time at Taft in 2011. He's an African refugee who pled guilty to credit card fraud. He contracted the disease within weeks of arriving.
I had the coughing, the night sweat, the appetite was gone, I couldn't eat, I couldn't swallow. Yeah, and I was losing weight really, really fast.
Before he got to Taft, Nguyen-Tor knew nothing about the danger.
All the emails were telling me about valley fever, and I was, what was it? And what is it? It was something scary.
Nguyen-Tor may be free from prison, but he's not free of the disease. He's too sick to work, and he'll probably be on antifungal meds for the rest of his life. Last year, he and another inmate won a landmark case that established their right to sue the government, even though Taft is managed by a private contractor. They've now filed a second lawsuit to recoup their medical costs and lost earnings. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Klein in Fresno.
We're going to move now to Silicon Valley, specifically Menlo Park, and visit Facebook. The social media giant has just announced new workplace family sick leave and bereavement rules. Well, actually, company COO Sheryl Sandberg announced the rules on her personal Facebook page. And she says that all employees will get 20 days of paid leave to grieve an immediate family member's death and 3 days to care for a kid with the flu. I spoke with Sandberg at Facebook headquarters, and she says she struggled after her husband Dave Goldberg's unexpected death in 2015.
I mean, just getting out of bed every day is a struggle when something like this happens, and I know I'm not the only person that's faced something like this. And so I think what we're trying to do with this policy is give people time for themselves, time to grieve, and time to take care of the things they need to take care of for their families.
Is it fair to say you were expecting other companies to follow?
Yes. Companies inquired the day after we make our announcement to get the specifics of our policy because they're considering it as well. That's great. And, you know, when we see other companies doing things well, we want to learn more. I think the race to do more for employees is good. It's good for employees and it's good for our economy because when we treat our employees the right way, they really give back in being loyal employees to our companies.
What about, though, for some of the smaller firms, maybe like the more boutique tech and software firms, who might not be able to do this in the Valley? How are they going to be able to attract the same quality of people if they can't keep up with the same quality of benefits?
Well, you know, when a company does something for its employees, obviously every company has its own situation and its own financials and its own offerings to its employees. I think it's great when companies do more. I think it's great when employees know that they're valued. And I think there are a lot of ways that companies can do this. But I do think companies should stretch to do as much as they can for the employees and the loyal people who work for them every day.
But will this help create a wider divide in the Valley? I mean, isn't it important that we have small companies that are able to attract better talent than perhaps what they have to get them over certain humps to help innovate new technologies?
Absolutely. And it's certainly important that we have entrepreneurial companies. I mean, one of the things I spend a lot of time on is working with small and medium-sized businesses because they're active users of the Facebook platform. You know, when we talk about benefits, I think every company should do as much as it can. You would never make the argument that a big company shouldn't provide benefits because not all companies can keep up, right? You would want the benefits to be provided as much as possible. And I think if every company can figure out what it can do for its employees, that will make a big difference and make our economy stronger.
Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the California Report comes from Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
Speaking of tech companies and the benefits they offer, check out this story. According to Bloomberg, Google's automated car division paid their employees so much that when they got a new boss, they had so much money they could just leave the company and not work again. Something to remember when paying for those auto-driving features. Anyways, it's a story that speaks to the competition to get the smartest workers in Silicon Valley. You can find a link to it on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. That's the California Report for Wednesday, February 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.